is over now to Pastor Dallas. He has a powerful message for us today.
Yes. Amen.
Yes. It was one birthed out of a lot of personal angst, and the enemy doesn't want to me to deliver because there's a little glitch. My clicker stopped working, so I'm having to use the mouse. As many of you know, my wife, Ann, has gone through a rather serious case of COVID-19 that put her in the hospital. Things got bad enough that the doctors were talking death about as recently as 3 weeks ago. And then the next day, God did a mighty miracle. And he brought healing to her. Healing the doctors could not have anticipated. And the latest update I have on her, she was about ready to get out of the hospital, and but then she had a reaction to a drug they administered. That's a setback, but my God is a God that finishes what he begins. It's written in Philippians 1:6, he who started a good work is faithful to complete it. So God is faithful to complete it. He has already delivered one miracle, and I'm waiting for the next one to be delivered. And in the struggle, you know, a lot of what I'm presenting is stuff I already knew, but I felt the Lord wanted me to get a deeper into the passage where it says, by Jesus' stripes we're healed. So I'm going to present that today. The message is called Jesus' Healing Stripes.
Yes.
You know, and there's two primary passages. There's the Old Testament prophecy of Jesus Christ. And Isaiah 53 describes the full orb of his suffering and how his suffering provides redemption. In verses 4 to 7, we read here, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And then in 1 Peter 2, 21-24, for even thereunto were ye called, because Christ has also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth, who, when he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live to righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And that's in 1 Peter 2, 21-24, and there he is quoting the passage in Isaiah. So, what's going on here? And there's lots of different perspectives. There's one perspective that's common to the charismatic movement that rightfully so, that says this: he healed my diseases on the cross.
Amen.
But then there's another perspective of those who are skeptical, those who are unbelieving, whether they be unbelievers in the world or whether they be so-called cessationists who, while they believe that Christ can save us from sin, they have a hard time understanding how he can save us from our diseases, how it brings healing to our bodies. And so the Greek, this is the Greek word here, the G2390 is the Strong's reference. And it literally means to make whole. There's 28 occurrences in the King James Version. Now, as I go through the rest of this, this sermon is going to be based on a principle of hermeneutics called comparing scripture with scripture. And that is, if you want to know what the Bible says about something, you look at all the references of that in the Bible, and you, through that you get a more complete picture of what's happening here. And so I'm going to go through all these references. Some of them I'll read the whole passage. Others I may read just a part of what I have. But I like to list things in context so that when you go back over and look at the sermon, or if you decide to look at the PowerPoint, you can see these passages in context. We're going to see that some of these passages, that it's talking specifically of physical healing. It can't mean anything else. But there's other passages where we see making whole refers to making the whole man whole. It means that through the stripes of Jesus, so that we can have spiritual healing, we can have emotional healing, as well as physical healing. We can be healed of a broken heart. We can be healed of roots, emotional roots that often lead to other things. I'll give an example here. If you look at alcoholism, at pornography addiction, those rarely have alcohol or sex as the root. They have as the root something that happened in the home, perhaps rejection is at a root of it. And so when we see healing through Jesus Christ, when the stripes of Christ make us whole, when he makes whole someone that has that addiction, he's not only going to deal with the alcohol and the porn, he's going to deal with that root of rejection and heal them of that rejection that set the stage for them to pursue trying to find wholeness in alcohol or sexual addiction. And so with that in mind here, one thing that I want to discuss before we go into those passages, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. I've got this whole thing here. It's talking here in 1 Corinthians 15, how in the resurrection we're going to be transformed. But I'm going to read the part in bold here. So when this incorruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. And then it goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? What's going on in the resurrection is that we have the complete fulfillment of all of this. In the resurrection, there will be no more sickness. In the resurrection, there will be no more dysfunctionality, no more loneliness. So it finds ultimate fulfillment in the resurrection. But this sermon is not about the resurrection, because this promise was given now so that we can get substantial healing of our diseases now. The passages that are coming up are going to show examples of Jesus making people whole. All of these passages employ the same Greek word that's used, and I did a goof up on my PowerPoint. Isaiah 53 was written in Hebrew, actually. But 1 Peter 2, the Greek in the 1 Peter 2, all these other passages have that same word.
Well, the Old Testament was also in Greek.
Yeah, the Septuagint. I have not checked the Septuagint to see. I suspect it's the same word, but I have not. I just wanted to make that note. For the sake of being accurate, but you are correct. There was a Septuagint, and it may have had. If I find it is, then I'll put a comment that it does. But 1 Peter 2 that I cited earlier has the Greek word that I had discussed, and the rest of these passages have that. To kind of give you an idea going into this, what we're going to discover. One of the things we're going to discover is that Jesus' stripes bring holistic healing. What does that mean? It means that healing from sins means to make whole, eliminating all of the consequences of sin.
Yes.
That means that brings physical healing. Because physical healing, physical disease is a consequence of sin. We have disease in this world because sin has entered the world. And sometimes we have disease because of our own personal sinful lifestyle choices have set ourselves up to be diseased. So if healing from sin means all the consequences, then this refers to physical healing. And we're going to see that some of these references refer specifically to physical healing, while others refer to other types of healing. And I also want to point out that these scriptures were given as promises through which we can access the divine nature, that the reference is in 2 Peter 1 to 4. So the rest of this sermon is going to be focused on how this promise applies to us now. keeping in mind that we're going to find the final healing at the resurrection. Jesus has full authority to heal here. In Matthew 8, 5 to 10, when Jesus was entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. Christ has full authority to heal. He just speaks the word, and healing comes. And we see here in Matthew 8, Jesus' life manifests foreordained healing. So Jesus says, I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west, shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out to outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so it be done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the same hour. And Jesus came to Peter's house and saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her. And she arose and ministered to them. And when the evening was come, they brought in him many who were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all the sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We see a duality here, and I want to spend just a few minutes. I don't have a lot of time for all the slides, but there's two things going on here. One, there's a foreordained healing. He's referring to the prophecy in Isaiah that I discussed at the beginning of the sermon. Through his stripes we're healed. So there's foreordained healing that's been foreordained at the cross, and in a sense, you could even say before the foundations of the world. But then there was the manifesting of healing that happens in space and time. When we pray for healing, when we call people, the elders lay on of hands. And that healing that's manifest in time is healing that God has already ordained. That's why in the group chat that some of you may be a part of, we made clear to people that the healing that Anne received was already ordained. It was purchased at the cross. But there is a moment in space and time when there's a laying on of hands, when we exercise our faith. In this case, Jesus spoke the word in space and time and manifested healing that had already been purchased at the cross, which was, from their perspective, a future event. From God's perspective, the cross was God's provision that provided everything, salvation for healing. And we see here in Matthew 13:13-15, how unbelief can hinder healing. Therefore speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, who says, by hearing you shall hear and not understand, seeing you shall see and not see. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ear is dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. We have to be careful that we don't waver in our faith, we don't vacillate in unbelief, but we stand strong. And sometimes a 10-second prayer that I prayed, my son Michael was healed of a hernia. I wouldn't call it a fervent prayer, but it was prayed in faith. Other times you have to soldier in prayer. You have to pray like a soldier. And in the case of Sister Ann, a lot of people soldiered in prayer, and there's still a need to soldier in prayer. She's already received one miracle. The other one is coming. Sometimes we must press hard. And in Matthew 15, 25 to 28, this woman comes to Jesus and he pushes back. And this may seem cruel. And some would even say that he was being racist because he was pushing back because this woman was not a native Jew. But that wasn't why he was pushing back. He told her, it's not meet to take the children's bread to cast it to dogs. But she says, true, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. He then answers and says to her, woman, great is thy faith. And she receives healing. Sometimes we have to press hard. And there's another case here of a woman, and she says, if I may touch but his clothes. And the reference here is Mark 5, 27 to 24. And she presses through this crowd and she touches his clothes. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself virtue, had gone out, turned about to the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. And in Luke 17 here, and here, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but here is where he's quoting from Isaiah 61, the commission, where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So you see here, the stripes of Jesus bring emotional healing. And Jesus, after reading that whole thing, said, this day the scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Jesus came to bring emotional healing. He came to bring spiritual healing. He came to bring whole healing of all the consequences of sin. Jesus' stripes bring holistic healing from sin. And it came to pass on that day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought into bed a man which was taken in palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, they went about the housetop and let him down through the ceiling, through the tiling with his couch in the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why reason ye in their hearts? Whether it's easier, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, rise up and walk. But that ye may know the Son of God has power on sins on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the guy that was sick with the palsy, I say to thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go to thy house. A few observations here. One observation is that this is a messianic passage. This is where Jesus is showing that he is the Messiah, that he is God in the flesh. There's another observation here, and that is he ties both of these together because the healing he comes to bring is holistic healing, healing of all the consequences of sin, which begins with forgiveness of sins and ends here with healing. And in Luke 6, 17 and 19, he comes down with them and stood in the plain in the company of the disciples, a great multitude of people out of all Judea, Jerusalem, from the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out from him and healed him all. We see physical healing, we see spiritual healing, and we see unclean spirits cast out. All in one package. And again, we've already talked about the centurion's faith, so I won't go and read that whole passage here. But again, Jesus said, I haven't found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Jesus can heal with the word, and he can give us a word to heal. He can give us that assurance. Hey, go and speak to that disease and command it to come out. He can say, speak to that leg and let it be whole. He can say, speak to those lungs, let them be whole.
Amen.
And again, this is, I'm just showing this here. It's the one that we had just discussed with the woman who had the issue, and virtue came out because her faith healed her. And he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, to heal the sick. Pastor Chris, that mantle's on us. That mantle's on all believers today.
Amen.
We have power and authority over devils. We have power to cure diseases. That's something God's given us. And just a little tidbit, we notice Jesus never had to struggle like we sometimes do. We engage often in much fervent prayer, and then healing comes. Jesus did the fervent prayer before they came to him. And he had revelation. And you see here, God's not bound by scarcity. This is the miracle of the five loaves and the two fishes. It's found in Luke 9:11-17. I'll read the parts of it here. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And, of course, after a day of healing, people were getting hungry. And they was far from the store. And we find here that they had just five loaves and two fishes to feed 5,000 people. And so Peter's saying, how can we do that? We can't do that. That's not enough. Jesus said, gather it. So they took the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat it and were all filled, and was taken up in fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. How can we do that? In the physical world, under the laws of physics, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
So don't let anyone tell you what God can and can't do. Sometimes, though, it takes the persevering, overcoming faith. And here it's, behold, I'll just go ahead and read it. Behold, the man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and suddenly he crieth out and teareth him, and he foams again, and he bruising badly departeth from him. And I besought my disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring my son thither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down in terror. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered again to his father. In a parallel passage that we don't have here, Jesus told the disciples, because they asked him, why could we not? And he said, these kinds of things come out only through prayer and fasting. There are some things that require persevering, overcoming faith, that require the second mile. Jesus was at a place where he had already done that beforehand. And so, when he was at that place, he had the revelation from God, from his father, and he spoke, and the child was healed. You know, and in the situation with Sister Ann, God had given her revelation on the 4th or the 5th when we were all diagnosed with COVID-19, but she had not yet got sick enough to go into the hospital. She told me that God told her it was going to be bad, but that she was going to make it. And that was the word that we had. And when she got deathly ill in the hospital, I put that word out to people of the word she told me. We had revelation that she's going to survive. And she is going to survive. She will live and not die. and has already received one miracle, and the other miracle is coming.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, and of course you may ask, why does God heal? It's an expression of love. I'm not going to go a whole lot into that, but Jesus did a healing on the Sabbath, and it was one of those healings because it was on the Sabbath. The religious leaders were squawking about how this was violating the Sabbath. And so then Jesus said, how many of you, if you have an animal that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, would you not pull it out? And of course, all of them would. If their animal stuck in a pit, they wouldn't make their animal wait until the Sabbath was over with. And why? If you're concerned about your animal, then why should I not be concerned about people on the Sabbath? And that's Luke 14, 2 to 5. Jesus even healed his enemies. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? Then they which were about him saw what would follow. They said to him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Jesus answered, said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. So he basically told him to stop, and he healed the guy who had been sent to take him away. This is the kind of God we serve, folks. This is the kind of love he has for us. Jesus' healing increases faith. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water to wine. And there is a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum, and heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee. He went to him and besought him who had come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. And he, as he was going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son lives. Then inquired he at the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was that same hour which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believe, and his whole house. And again, he heals a paralytic. This is physical healing here that, and I don't know what happened, that happened here. And again, the Jews say it's the Sabbath day. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Another verse, physical healing. I think you're all getting the picture here, folks. And in John 12, 36 to 41. While ye have light, believe the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before him, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he said, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom the arm of the Lord hath been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Esaias saith again, he hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, that I should heal them. Let us not be like those who are unbelieving, those whose hearts are hardened. Let us not be like those that once we get the miracle, we just go back to doing business as usual. Let this result in increased faith. And again, you know, in Acts, we're now in Acts. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go to the temple, asked of alms. And Peter, fastening himself, his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. and he gave heed to him, expecting to receive something of him. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such thou have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping stood and walked, and entered with him to the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement of what happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the Peter ran together for them in the porch called Solomon's, greatly wondered. And when Peter saw it, he said, ye men of Israel, why marvel at this? Or why look so earnestly at this, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus. And he completes it by saying it was through faith in his name that this man was made strong. Whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of us all. So it's through faith in Christ. It's through Christ's power. And let us never think, as the revival comes, as we receive these miracles, it's through our holiness or power. It's through God's power. And he gives us the privilege to come to him in prayer. And again in Acts 9, Peter says, Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. This great miracle that God's doing with, and it's my hope and prayer that this overflows to revival. Amen. And I've gone through, I know, a whole bunch of scripture here, but I'm wanting to get the point as to what this healing power that God has given can do. We see in Acts 10, 34 and 39 here, it's talking about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Let us look to the Lord. Let us trust in the Lord. Because he has given anointing to heal. He anointed Jesus Christ to heal. And he's given that anointing to us in the church. We see a situation here where Paul had this anointing, and on his part, he behaved very casually. But the anointing was so strong that Paul's life was saved. Paul was gathering sticks, and when he had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on a fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. And when the barbarians saw that this venomous beast hang on his hand, they said to himself, no doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast in his fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after that they looked a great while and saw no harm coming. They changed their mind and said that he was a god. In the same quarters was possession of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on and healed him. So when this was done, others also who had diseases in the island came and were healed. So we see the healing virtue of Paul. This was when he was on his way to Rome, but hadn't quite arrived in Rome yet. There was an island that they had crashed into in the sea, and there was miracles that happened even before that where nobody was lost to that ship. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Holistic healing comes by faith and repentance. And Paul's, this is kind of in the middle of a sermon here, and this is what he was saying, starting in verse 23. And when he had appointed him a day, there came many to him to his lodging, whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. and some believing things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not amongst themselves, they departed. After Paul had spoken a word, saying, well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet under our fathers, saying, go to this people, and saying, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known to you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, that they will hear it. And when he had said these things, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. So let's this great miracle here bring us to a point where we have faith for revival. And I'm not going to go and read the whole of 12:3 to 13 here. I've got it in the notes. But it talks about how God uses both the breaking and the breakthrough. God allows for situations to come into our life. Because people have asked, why does sometimes God heal instantly? And other times we have to go through trial. Well, God uses trials. He uses them to mold us, to shape us. He uses them to bring us to a place of repentance. When I was in my dark corner with COVID, and I was in that COVID fog, and I was half there, I was playing this worship music, God began to deal with me with a whole assortment of things, areas of personal failing where I needed to repent. And God did a transformative work in me. I was a different person coming out of COVID than I was going in. And so in Hebrews 12 here, he's talking about enduring chastening as sons. Allowing the Holy Spirit to work through that, to mold us, to shape us. And near the end of the passage in verse 13 here, it says, wherefore lift up hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. In other words, worship the Lord. Praise the Lord in the midst of the suffering. We praise Him and give Him glory in the breaking, and then we give Him glory in the breakthrough. Just like that song says. And it says, make straight paths for your feet. Let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And that's what we want to do. We want to seek God. We want to continue to praise God. We don't want to be like the nine lepers who milked the healing and disappeared. We want to be that tenth leper here. And a lot of these examples here, we've seen instant healing. Jesus instantly heals. The apostles instantly heal. I've seen that in my own ministry, instant healings. But more often than not, probably the majority of time, he uses the fervent prayer of a community. And here we see, and I'm just going to go ahead and read the passage. Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elias was a man subject to like passions than we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So that's healing is typically through the fervent prayers of a community. And when we receive that healing, it should bring thanksgiving. Now this last passage here, I purposely put out of order. And this is the passage of the 10 lepers here. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw him, he said to him, go show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Leprosy back then had a lot of similarities to COVID today. It brings a stigma. If you had leprosy, you isolated yourself. And under the law, if a leper got healed, he was to show himself to the priest. The priest was to certify they were cleansed. Think negative COVID-19 test. And then they could go back into society. So you had these 10 lepers who were forcibly isolated. They didn't get to go see their family for Christmas. Of course, they didn't have Christmas. Then they had their Jewish holidays. But they didn't get to spend time with their family on the holidays. As far as the family is concerned, they was dead. They were in dire straits, begging for mercy. God shows mercy. And let's continue with the passage. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. We don't want to stop praising God when the miracle comes. When Ann comes home and she's coming home, we don't want to stop there. We don't want to be like those 9 lepers that forgot about you and milk the miracle. We don't want to be miracle milkers. We want to be those that are thankful to God. Amen. That give thanks to God. Said, Lord, thank you for the good thing you've done. We want to be numbered among those who pursue him. And when the next prayer need comes, pray for that. We want to be like that song that Petra says, we want to become people after God's own heart.
Amen.
And what is his heart? His heart wants revival. He wants the church revived. The church in America is in a sad state of disrepair, and the world is even worse. We are in the end times. We are in the times of the great apostasy. God wants us to seek him for great awakening. He wants us to seek him for repentance, that people come to repentance. He wants to bring in that last group of people who are going to come to know him as Savior. He wants to revive us. He wants us to actually live the life. There's so much more to this Christian life than what we're living. He wants us to pursue him after his own heart. In thanksgiving. Not because somebody is, some preacher is beating you over the head and making you feel guilty. And you're going and doing this because you feel guilty. It's like what Pastor Chris said at the top of the sermon about the tithe. The teaching of the tithe makes people feel guilty. God doesn't want us to give because we feel guilty. He wants us to give because we are thankful. Because without him, we were doomed. Without him, we were destined to go to hell.
Amen.
Had God not shown up, Anne would be dead today. But he showed up, and she lives.
Amen.
Because Christ came to the cross, we have hope to not go to hell. Had he not showed up at the cross, we would be dead men walking, destined to hell. So, because of God's overwhelming goodness, we should want to give more than the tithe, not because we feel guilty, but because we are so thankful that without God, we would have lost everything.
Amen.
Including our very own lives, including our very own souls. And it is out of that thanksgiving. I just hope my prayer is for people to have a spirit of thanksgiving. And it's through thanksgiving that we enter God's courts. And that will have to be a lesson for another time, because I'm sure this is a long one. I've machine gunned, even shortcutting some of the passages, I've probably machine gunned people with scriptures on this one. But if you take nothing else away from it, take away this. It's through Jesus' stripes has provided for all of our healing, all of our restoration. It's provided for our faith, and as we see God move, we should be overwhelmed with thanksgiving so that we want to pursue what's important to Him. And do so because of our gratefulness, not because we feel guilty. Guilt is a weapon of weak-minded ministers who are hirelings who want power over the people. And that's not what we peddle here at New Covenant Church of the Apostles. We are peddling the Word of God. We want people to give out of thanksgiving. We want to ourselves give out thanksgiving. I'm just overwhelmed with thanksgiving right now. And that's the takeaway here, that healing should bring thanksgiving. And that's pretty much what I have for the message today. So I'll turn it over to Pastor Chris to wrap up.
Amen. That was a good sermon. You know, I just want to note that in the scriptures today, when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, He was fulfilling the spirit of the Sabbath.
Yes.
Just as He fulfilled the Levitical law. Fulfilled it. Praise God. It's a good sermon. Let us all stand, bow our heads in prayer as we close today. Heavenly Father, we come before You today in praise. We praise You for Your many, many blessings in our life, small and great. We praise You for Your many healings in our life, small and great. We praise You now and always. Lord God, we pray that You go with each and every one of us today as we go our separate ways. Keep us safe. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, minister to us each and every day. Be with us. Bring us back together again safely next week. We praise You now and always. We praise You for You are holy and righteous, and we praise You for You are God. In Jesus' name I pray. And in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say it.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.